Amen. All right. Give them a round of applause. Very good.
Check one, check.
It's on. I'm not. I think a lack of sleep will do that to you, a little bit lack of sleep. For some reason, I don't know why, but it seems that each year it gets a little more difficult. I don't know what it is. I remember my younger years, I could just spring right up and off to the races, and now it's not a spring right up. My spring has sprung. I like that. Yes, yes. I want to share I got a couple of verses, but on this one, it comes out of Matthew 22, and it says, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first of the greatest commandments, and it is, second is like this, love your neighbors as yourself. And I want to say that to the church. God bless you. Thank you for the support that you show to the youth and allowing just for the facilities, for the hard work, for the people who show up, especially our volunteers. I tell the kids they have jobs and they have families and they have other responsibilities. And they chose to stay up all Friday night and Saturday and part of Sunday and still do this. So I thank you for those who definitely showed up and helped. God bless you. And thank you for the church, also for the facilities, for the electricity and for the water and for the showers. It really is fantastic. So thank you. I think we had a great group of kids this year. We always do. We always have. I tell you, we are blessed with really good kids. And anytime you get, I think, 20-something, almost 30 teenagers in a pinball machine called the gym, there's just no telling what's going to happen, right? So I applauded them for showing up on a Friday night and on a Saturday. And I would say usually during the Bible lessons and Bible times, typically they're not short, mini sermonette little lessons that we're in and out and it's done. Usually they are camped out on the gym floor for 45 minutes, an hour, sometimes 2 hours. And I tell them, it is not you sitting there listening to me preach at you. Have your Bible, open it up, and we read Scripture, and they go over Scripture, and they do a lot of the reading. And we do a lot of the talking points, but we actually have them read the Scripture for themselves. I'll tell them, you're not just going to sit there and just kind of let me talk at you for hours. I could do that. That's my family. They know. So I wanted to start off, I guess, this morning with the kids, and I know in this state, in this early Sunday morning, sometimes all the synapses is not snapping just yet, but I wanted to give the kids an opportunity, if you would like to give a testimony about your D-Now experience, or if you would like to share something for the kids who are there, if you would like to, now is your opportunity, if you would like to share anything. Zoe, did I already see your hand go up? No? All right, would any of the youth like to share anything about D-Now or anything like that? I just want to give the opportunity. No, I see some heads like, oh, no, no. not yet. But Olivia, would? All right.
So yesterday we did this prayer wall thing, and so we all got sticky notes, and we wrote prayer requests on them anonymously, and then people would walk up there and read it, and they did not know who you were, but they would pray over you. And it just, like, it was really touching to just have your prayer request prayed over in front of everyone, not even knowing who you were. That's it.
Anybody else? I see some people, like, completely avoiding eye contact. Because they know in youth that, like, if you look at me, you're the one reading and you're the one who just volunteered. Right? Oh, you, great, come on up. All right. Any other young, brave souls out there? Some of them are pretending to be asleep. No? Yeah. Okay. I thought for me that was the message, was the prayer time. The most important part is not my common potatoes that I add to the message. But it is the Word of God, and seeing other kids pray for each other, and then not knowing who you're praying for within the group, but just listening to that prayer request. And each person wrote down a prayer request, or they wrote down something that they were thankful for. And then another youth or another adult came up, and we prayed over each one of those. And it was touching to see, and I hope the kids saw that all of us have struggles and all of us have battles, and we all have these things that come against us. And so we're not alone in this, and as a group, we are united, and that's called the body of Christ. And it was a blessing to see the kids come up and pray in front of their peers, and in front of adults. I tell them, if you can do it here with like-minded Christians, when you get out there, you can do it as well, because you're not alone. All righty, any other kids like to share anything? Now we start picking volunteers. No, all right. Then at this time, could I have our adults that did help or showed up? Could you just stand up for me? We had quite a few of them. Thank you. Ron, John, stand up as well. Thank you. Thank you very much. So now it's going to be the adults' time if they would like something. Jilly, are you already up? Come on, Jilly. Jilly's like one of the kids too. Like, well, I don't know. So would any of our adults, Ron?
Yeah, I just like to say, you know, going on to that prayer wall thing was really kind of touching, right? Because, like you say, you didn't know who wrote the prayer request, and you were given the privilege to come up and pray over. You know, you just grabbed a sticker and you read it, and one of them that I pulled down, it was to pray for their mom and to pray for having a great stepmother, and you know. And really kind of touched me because it made me start thinking about my mom and how I missed her because she's no longer in my life. And it was a great opportunity to be able to, because I don't know what the situation for her mom is or anything. But just to pray over that, to give her peace and comfort in those situations, because, you know, it is your, I don't care what the problem is, or if there is no problem, it is your mom, and it is the only one you're going to have that gives you birth. And like say, and when she's gone, that's it, you know. But in my situation was that when my mom passed away, there was no funeral or anything, and then my siblings had her cremated, and we were all going to get together and dispose of her ashes. And then I had one sibling that she just took it upon herself and did it on her own with none of us. And, you know, and that hurt. That hurt. But you know, like I say, so you don't know what struggles us adults have too. We all have them too. It's not just being a teenager with them, but it was a privilege to be able to pray over different ones. And you had one. What was it? For the family, the family problems or whatever. And we all have them.
Some of them are not kittens and rainbow prayer requests. You know, when they're praying to reunite their family, that's a tough one. I know my family is the same way, divorced at a young age, but to see another kid come up and pray for that and pray over that was humbling, and it was a blessing. Any of our other adults?
I'd like to also thank the church for the opportunities that y'all always give us with the youth. It's very much appreciated, and Pastor Steve and Stephanie, always supportive. And for our chaperones, y'all are amazing. For Ron and I are always best friends at Denals in camp.
we're the mom and dad.
Yes.
Of the group.
So we just have fun together. And, of course, Marco and Mikey, thank you for all your work. And I know how much work goes into it, so we appreciate you. And I want to give a big thanks to Krista. You know, she's new to our church family and to our family as well, and she's very special to us. And for her to come in and just spend the whole weekend with us and little Wyatt, we just appreciate you. And she is a blessing to us, and she helped us a lot, and we appreciate that. And so all the youth, I know you had a fun weekend, and you have activities outside of school and church, and to be able to spend the weekend here and give your time to the Lord, we appreciate y'all. And there, guys, there's a lot of great kids that we have in this group, and I hope that you having this weekend with us and seeing us serve the Lord and serving you, and that will, you'll be able to take it out there as well. And we appreciate y'all and love y'all very much. So thank y'all.
You know, when they were talking about moms, often my wife says, I don't know what y'all would do without me. I second that motion. I don't know. She does things for the kids that, honestly, it doesn't even enter my head. And then she's like, would you have thought of that? I'm like, no, I would have not. I would have thrown them a Pop-Tart and gave them some water, and we would have called it good. And she always handles the medicine. She helps with the medication and stuff, because I look at it, and I'm like, okay. Again, it's like a Pop-Tart. I would probably just throw it at them, and hopefully it works out. But she's on top of that. So it's interesting as when God ordains the family and marriage, and he really puts you with the right person. So I look forward to that for Mike and for Krista coming up as well. Any of our adults? Krista? No? Okay. All right. Okay. Yesterday we had a youth fundraiser car wash. And it was kind of shaky for a little bit with the weather and everything. The clouds were up. Last year we kind of got rained out, but this year it we kind of hit it just right. We did have a little rain, but it really kind of made it nice. Always like a good overcast day. But we had a lot of people show up, a lot of turnouts from the church, and also from people driving by. We were able to raise $411 for the car wash. Yeah. And amen, especially for a rainy, cloudy day. You know, people still showed up, and even when it was kind of lightly sprinkling rain, people would still pull in. And it just goes to show you the support for the kids and for the youth. And it is a blessing to see that. So they got to do, I would say they did quite a bit of work yesterday. They were pulling hoses and sponges, and one was washing tires, and the other one would be climbing up on one. And we only soaked the inside of one car, so we did pretty well. We did pretty well. But in their defense, she did roll down the window when they was rinsing it, so I don't know what happened there. We had a couple people show up, and they just gave us donations even though we didn't wash their car. So it was a blessing to see that as well. I offered to rinse out the inside of their car since it was raining, but I got no takers on that. I told them we'd be happy to rinse out. Yes, we had three dogs. Let's see, one, and it was kind of funny because it ran the gamut. We had a Great Dane, and we had a little dachshund. So, and then we had another dog, which was what? What's your middle? Sophie, was she a pit bull? And a pit bull. But various, and we did have a goat. We had a goat. We didn't watch the goat, though. That little girl was not let go of that goat, but she did bring a goat, which was pretty cool, so. I guess that kind of fits the Pinehurst Magnolia area. Three dogs and a goat. I was a little disappointed no cats showed up because I was really hoping to baptize one. I wanted to baptize a cat yesterday so bad. I know, one of these days, cat baptism. I'm going to put it on the sign. That would be an interesting write-up, right, in the Christian Today newspaper. All right. They did a lot of hard work. I was really proud of them. We had a lot of people come through, and nobody got hurt, but a few people did get wet. The water hoses were flying and stuff. So, they did a really fantastic job. And I did take pictures, parents. So later on, I will be sure to email and text those to you, so you can see that your child can wash a vehicle. So when they get home, they're like, I don't know how. Like, you'll have the proof right there. I'm like, look here, you were actually washing tires. I know it can be done. Yes, it's going. I know Devin's shaking his head like, no, please no. Yes, proof of work happening. All right, well, if we don't have any more parents, any more kids, any last-minute kids right there? All right, well, I'm gonna hand it off to Mike here then.
Y'all sang He Lives this morning, and that's one of my favorite songs. I love that song so much. My grandmother used to sing that song every day. We serve a risen Savior, right? He is in the world today. I got asked the other day by a newer Christian, right? The guy was about 30 years older than me, but he just came to know the Lord. And I got to talk to him for a minute, just sit there. We were having a nice conversation, and he asked me, he's like, how do you know you have Christ? You know, I looked at him for a second, and I'm like, I don't know that anybody's ever really asked me that question. I'm like, I like this question. Like, I mean, I know what the Bible says, right? And I believe what the Bible says. And I was like, and I can feel his presence. I was like, I feel Christ within me. I see him around me. And he's like, well, how do you feel him? He's like, how do you know that's what you're feeling? So I asked him, I was like, you know, have you ever been swimming? He goes, well, yes. I was like, have you ever just like gone as deep in the water as you could and just see how long you stay down there? He's like, well, you know, when I was younger. I was like, did you know you were wet? He's like, well, I mean, I was in water. I'm like, you were in water. But when you're in water, can you feel the water? I'm like, now, if you just like kind of went and touched water, you could feel the wetness on your hand. But once you're submerged in the water, do you really feel the water anymore? Or do you just know that you're in the water? So he kind of sat there and looked at me for a second. And I was like, that's how I am with Christ. I feel Christ's presence around me. I know Christ's presence is around me. I like these questions, right? These are awesome questions. Marco asked me last night if I would be willing to kind of share some of the messages that I got blessed with, being able to give with the kids and the Bible studies, and it excites me, right? Who here knows they have a calling from God, right? We all know that we have been called for something. I know what God's called me to do in my life, and when I get to do it, I'm excited, right? I look forward to it. I get a little anxious and a little bit, get the jitters going, right? Because I'm like excited. I want to talk about God. I want to tell people about Christ, and I want to tell them what he's done for me. I don't want people to hear me. I get nervous when I talk in front of people. I get a little shaky. I sweat a lot, and I move my hands a lot. So if the microphone goes flying, I apologize. But I get excited, right? Because this is what God's called me to do. He called me to talk about him, to praise his name, to tell people about him, and I love every opportunity of it. So I'm just so grateful for Marco and our church and our pastor for allowing me to do this. get asked almost every year, how do me and Marco and Jay continue to do D-Now weekends? Holy Spirit, yeah. We love it. You know, we complain about it amongst ourselves, you know, about the staying up late and how it's going to be rough and it's going to be tiring. But then as soon as we get there, we are so happy. We love just getting to be with the kids. We love getting to talk about Christ with the kids. And as you've heard from our prayer cross, a lot of times people look at these kids and think that they're just teenagers without a care in the world, when really these guys are going through some pretty hard stuff. And to get to be one of the people and one of the vessels God uses to just sit down and pray with them, pray for them, it's an amazing experience. So again, I am just very grateful to our church and to Marco and to Ms. J for allowing me to be a part of with the youth and allowing us to do these weekends every year and having camp. So with that, I got to, like I said, bring a few messages. And one of them was, we really focus on the call, right? You look at all of our shirts, it has the call, because God has called us all for something. And when I was seven, and I was sharing this with the kids, when I was about seven, I remember coming to Vacation Bible School, and around that time, the What Would Jesus Do was, like, running rampant. It was going like crazy back then. And, you know, as a kid, you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, what would Jesus do? I remember having the little bracelets, and I had a little necklace that had what WWJD on it. And, you know, now I look at that, and I'm like, why that? Let's ask, what did Jesus do, right? Because we have the Bible, right? We have God's word. We have Christ's life. I'm not going to try to read the whole verses, but in John chapter 3, verses 2 through like 17, it's Nicodemus coming to Christ. Nicodemus was a very educated man. Nicodemus knew scripture. And yet Nicodemus knew he needed to talk to Christ, right? He knew he had a question. Christ came before, right? Christ has been here before. Christ has walked this earth before, and he came for a very specific purpose. He had a call, just like we have a call. Nicodemus asked him a question, and Christ answered to him. To Nicodemus seemed unfathomable, right? He said, you must be born again. And even Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? And so Christ tried to explain to him, right? A man must be born from flesh, but a man must be born again from spirit. And Christ came to give us this opportunity to be born again of the Spirit. And I love this set of verses because Christ quotes back old scripture, talks about Moses. If you're a fan of the Old Testament and you're a fan of Moses, look at it, and it talks about the time that a lot of God's people turned from him, and God sent snakes, right? And all these people got bit by snakes, and basically he gave Moses a staff, right? And all he had to do was look to this staff, and they'd be healed. These are people that God had continued to save, continued to feed, and continued to give water to, continued to guide throughout 40 years, and yet they kept going right back to the woe is me and trying to find other things out there because they felt like God wasn't there. And yet God constantly was helping them. So he sends snakes. He tells Moses to hold up the staff. All they have to do is look at it. They'll be healed. Sadly, a lot of people didn't look at it. In my mind, I feel like if I had the opportunity to get rid of this venom within me and all I had to do was look at a stick, I'm going to look at it, right? What's going to happen? I already got bit. Why not look? These guys didn't look. Christ came for us to look at, right? He came for us, right? We have a problem. We got to admit and we got to figure out that we have this problem because we all have it. I have it. You have it, right? And it's sin. Christ came for us to see that we have a problem and that we need an answer and a solution. And Christ is that solution. Romans 3:23 is, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm all, right? You are all. We have all sinned and fall short of God's glory. And yet, Christ ascended. Right? We have that to look up to, which is kind of awesome that we have the cross sitting back there, because I get to stand here right now and say, I'm looking up to Christ to save me from the poisonous sin that I have. And there's the cross right there. Right? We knew Christ died on that cross, but he rose again. So I asked kids, you know, what did Jesus do? This was the main question for the first day. And, you know, Romans 6:23 is also, for the wages of sin is death, but I come that you may have life and have it eternally. God doesn't want us to go to hell, right? Christ does not want us to suffer in this life. He does not want us to feel the everlasting effects of this venomous sin that we have. He gives us a solution. He gives us a way, and I feel like more often than not, we choose to look the other way. And I ask myself why. And I say that because I look the other way. I don't always look to where I know I need to. And yet God's made it so clear. So Christ came to make disciples. Best thing about Christ, when you look at him, when he came, he was a disciple of God. Right? Christ came, he made disciples. He had his apostles. But Christ was a disciple of his Father. He followed God. He knew Scripture. He quoted Scripture. He had a problem. He fixed it with Scripture. He get tempted by the devil. He quoted Scripture to fight temptation. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to walk. And he showed us how to be the disciples of God that we need to be. And a lot of times we look the other way. So what did Jesus do? He made disciples. Then it was kind of the priorities of a disciple. Christ showed how we walk and how we live and how we talk and how we should act. He showed that by showing God's love. The property of a disciple, the priority of a disciple should be that of reflecting Christ's love in Christ's life as we walk and as we talk. It's easy to say things in a church that are Christian-y sounding things, right? I can tell you that I love God. But do you really know that I love God? Does my life show that I love God? Does my walk show that I love God? Those are the things that really matter. Because when you're in a comfortable setting, it's easy. God doesn't want us to be comfortable, right? A comfortable Christian is a lazy Christian. And you may get mad at me for saying that, but God didn't call us to be complacent. God wants us to get out and to tell people because there's a real problem out there, and we know it. So why not tell people? So as a priority of a disciple, we should be showing God's love. We should be living Christ's life. And I know we're going to fail. But the longer and the harder you try to live after God's will, you'll see that those failures become less and less, and they become more burdensome on you when you fail. Right? It's not going to be a fail and think, oh, it's okay. It's going to be, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I am sorry. If you look at Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19, this is where Christ called the 12 people, right? He called them by name, told them, come with me. And he made them his apostles. He gave them all new names. And I think my favorite part about these set of verses isn't just that Christ picked these people. It's at the end of this chapter 7, or verse 17, or 19, I'm sorry. It mentions Judas as the one who betrayed him. Christ knew when he picked these 12 guys to be his apostles that Judas was going to betray him. He loved him anyways. He let him walk with him anyways. He showed him love constantly, right, with the hopes that Judas would maybe come to know him better, right? He gives us the opportunity to do what we want to do, even if it's wrong, because he loves us, and he's not a controlling God, right? He's a, this is it. This is what you choose. Go with it. You look at Moses' life, and you look at Samson's life. God allowed these guys to do things that he knew were not right because they wanted it. God's like, if you want to go away from me, you get to live with the consequences. You look at Samson's first marriage. Right, this dude got married to a Philistine, and you can look at this, and from the rest of Samson's life, there was no blessings from that marriage, right? Because God allowed it, because Samson wanted it, and he got nothing but pain and hurt from it, right? Got mad, went and killed a bunch of people, which somewhat of Samson's calling, but you gotta read that and realize that when you do wrong, just because God lets it happen, does not mean it's right, and does not mean you're just going to have the same great life afterwards, right? God will still give you an amazing life, but there are consequences to our actions. I'm going to read Acts chapter 4, verse 13. it says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. It is my prayer every chance I get to be with the youth or talk to anybody about Christ that this is how they see me. Right? I don't want people to look at me and think, oh, look, he's doing good. He's talking to people. No, I don't care what you think of me, but I care what you think of my God. I want people to see me as they see all these two guys, that this guy's been with the Lord. And then finally, there's the fruits of a disciple. We all know the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, kindness, happiness, faithfulness, gentleness. And we know the fruits of the Spirit. It's something that you get taught as a little kid. They have a little song for it. I'm not going to sing because that'll torture you. But... but they have a little song to help you remember these things. But what are the fruits of a disciple? Right? It goes beyond just the fruits of a spirit. The fruits of a disciple is that of making more disciples. Christ didn't come and to be just a disciple. He came and made disciples. And more importantly, those disciples that he made went and made more disciples. And it just kept going on. Right? I was sharing with the kids that if even just one gave their life to Christ, then I feel like our job has been done. But if I were to have left this weekend and felt like we had not at least told them about Christ and his salvation, then my job had been failed. We are here as disciples to make disciples and then to watch those disciples go and make more disciples. I share with them too, Marco has been a person who has helped disciple me over the years, and I can see that from him as the guy who has helped disciple me, but then I can see the people above him who have helped discipled him, and so on. And I get to be a vessel who's used to help with kids and help other people. This is our pastor helps disciple our church. Right? There had to be someone who helped disciple him to begin with. Amen. And if you are truly a disciple of God, you're going to let that go and continue. You're not just going to get it and hold it to yourself. Right? I remember when I was in school, my teacher Tim, a lot of times during the, you know, once or twice a year during a quarter, we'd get there and he'd have like this little quiz for us. And it was usually something along the lines of, if everybody in this class gets this 100%, have a free day, right? None of us ever got it all right. There was always at least five of us that got stuff wrong. And they were usually pretty simple things if you were just took the time to actually read it. One day we got there, and it was a question. He said, whoever gets this one right gets to have a free day today. And I remember this, right? And it was, if you had a penny a day and you doubled that penny every day, how much money would you have at the end of a month in the 30 days? A lot of kids said 60 cents, or a lot of kids put some number down to like, oh, one times 30, right? 30 cents, done. I wasn't very good at school, but I loved math. So I was like, all right, math question, I'm getting a free day. That number is 5,368,709.12. You know, and I try to turn that around and look at the kids, and I'm like, look, as a disciple, can you talk to one person a day? Can you talk to two people a day? How hard it would be to really talk to 10 people in a day? Right, we have a huge sphere around us, especially if you're a kid. You're at school. You have tons and tons of people around you. If you're an adult and you're working, you have people around you at your job. With my work, I travel all the time. I get to meet people in all different states and cities, and I get to talk to people all the time. And I'd love to tell you that every person I talk to, I tell them about Christ, but I don't. And that's where I fail. So it's my challenge to myself and my challenge to the kids and my challenge to every disciple out there to go and double, right? If we can't talk to one person about God in a day or in a week, then are we really following God? John 15, verses 1 through 8 are Christ talking about, he is the vine and we are the branches. It talks about if the branch is bearing fruit, he will continue to prune it back, let it continue to grow and bear more fruit. But if the vine is not producing fruit, it gets cut off. It says it gets cast to the side. It withers away until someone comes and picks it up and throws it into a fire to burn. It's never my intentions or my job to try to scare somebody into a false salvation. But hell is real.
That's right.
Sin is real.
Yes.
And Christ's word is real.
Amen.
And Christ said to himself that if we are not producing fruit, he will cut us off from his vine, right? Cast us to the side and we will be cast into fire, right? And we know that fire is hell. But if we are producing, we will continue to draw the nutrients and everything we need from Christ and the Holy Spirit to continue to produce this fruit. And all we have to do is ask. God is there. We've mentioned to the kids many times over the years, and you know, it still just amazes me every time I ever get to bring a message or witness to somebody. You start talking and you start quoting scripture, and you'll notice that you'll quote scripture that you don't even know. That the Holy Spirit comes of, just takes over, and you get to be a true vessel with it. And it just amazes me every time. And the fact that somebody like me, who does not like to talk, who does not like to be in front of people, that God can take control and God can use me as an opportunity and a vessel for someone else. And I'd love to be the person to harvest a lot of souls, but I want even more to be the person to just plant the seeds. It doesn't matter to me who harvests the plant as long as it is planted. So it was my challenge to the youth, and it's my challenge to our church as disciples of God to go out and to multiply, right? to show that we are disciples and to show that we are a fruit-bearing branch off of Christ's strong vine. And with that, Marco.
Well, Mike had the first hour. I get the second hour. I always tell the kids that. They say the same thing. Oh! Except with them, I really mean it. Some of you are like, I'm sorry. It's almost time. You know, there's a Bible verse when we talked about the disciples. It says, if anyone would follow me, he would deny himself daily, pick up his cross. I may have said that a little off, but I don't have enough sleep at the moment. I tell the kids, the Bible says daily, deny yourself daily. There's so many things this world is going to throw at them, already has thrown at them. And that is part of their sanctification and walk in this journey of their Christian life is to not deny yourself daily. If you're not denying yourself daily, and if you're allowing yourself to do whatever you want to do, you have replaced God with yourself. So I hope that they know that and they see that. The next verse we talked about is in Matthew also, and it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. That is the journey of the disciple, is to love God every day with everything that you can. When I see the volunteers that we have through DNOW, and I see the members of this church, I see that. Love the Lord God with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. And I pray that the kids would take that from this point in their life and continue with that. And that'll that will guide, guard, and direct you is the word of God. The last verse I have on that when we talked about the disciple was it said that it's in Matthew 28, and it says, and then the 11 disciples went to Galilee and up to the mountains where Jesus had told them to go. A lot of times when Jesus was preaching, there was a multitude here. But then he would send up into the mountains. And it was those who followed him were the true disciples. They weren't there looking for the manna that he was feeding them or all the stuff that he could give them. But the ones who really wanted him, the ones who truly seeked him, followed him. Just like when he said to the disciples, follow me. And so they dropped their nets right then and they followed him. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. So I pray for these kids as they continue in their journey of being a disciple, that soon they'll make that crossover to make disciples and to follow him for all the days of their life and to love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Know that I love you, but more importantly, know that God loves you. Amen. God bless you, and amen.
Amen. All right. Well, if you need to receive Christ today, please get with me or Brother Marco or Brother Ronnie Vaculik or Brother James back here or Brother Richard Borgman. Please get with one of us before you get off the property. We want to tell you, we want to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ and let you know that we're all sinners and that God sent Jesus to be our salvation and that you as an individual, not because of a friend or a parent has received Christ, but you as an individual, you need to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to invite the kids to come fill the altar here, the DNOW kids. Come on, kids, just stand kind of where I'm at, just all across the front here, all across the front, all across, all the way down, all over. All right, very good. All right, you guys just fill this hole. Amen. Good to see you. You awake? You look like you're awake. All right. Somebody drop a green pen. It's a fine green pen. Is that yours, brother? Yeah. I go in my collection. Nobody claims that. Amen. All right. Outstanding. Well, we want to pray for these guys. Amen.
Amen.
So, sponsors, you come up here and join them. Church family, you gather around them. And we're going to close this service with a word of prayer for these kids. Amen. Outstanding. Why do we pray for them? Why do we love them so much? Because we're going to spend eternity with them. Amen?
Amen?
Bless the tie that binds. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Oh, y'all got to get closer than that. You guys on the side, y'all come on. Come on. Man, They've invented this thing called deodorant. And it makes getting close good. Amen? Amen. Outstanding. Well, the body of Christ. Isn't it a beautiful body?
Amen.
The body of Christ. Amen. We pray for one another and we undergird one another and we lift each other up because we are one in the body of Christ. We spend an eternity with one another, right? We walk with Jesus together in this world. We are the bearers of light in a world of darkness, in a world of hate, in a world of lostness. We carry within us the love of Jesus, the compassion, the concern, the love for our fellow man, because we want to see each and every one of them come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And these students, they're going to go back on the mission field come Monday. Right? They're back out in the mission field, called public school or private school, wherever they go. And we want to pray. We want to pray for them that God would undergird them and help them. Amen? And we're going to have a message next Sunday on praying for them specifically. And but we're going to pray right now today. So, Brother Marco, after sometime this week, brother, if you'll get me a name of all the students so that we can say their names next Sunday, because we're going to pray for them again. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And Lord, as the pastor of this church, it's such a privilege and an honor to get to walk this old path with these folks. And Lord, just to encourage them up and, Lord, to try to be used by you to help them and to just sow seeds of wisdom and truth in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, it's your word, and we praise you for it. We praise you for the strength and the power from the Holy Spirit. We thank you for our salvation today, the songs we sung today about grace and how amazing it is, Lord, and how loved we are by you. We just praise you and thank you for that. Thank you for coming and dying on the cross for our sins and shedding your blood that covers us and allows us entryway into this relationship that is eternal, everlasting, forever and ever. Lord, as we come today, we lift up each and every one of these students here that got to participate in DNOW. We pray for them, Lord, and we just pray for their strength. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit as they go back to their school, as they go back to their life. And Lord, we just pray that you would use this mountaintop experience to help them in the valley and in the challenges of life.
Amen.
Lord, may they look back to this time, and may they hold on to this time. And Lord, may this time see them through tough and difficult times. And Lord, I pray that you would use them as a witness and as a testimony to bring glory and honor to your name, that not just them and not just us, but others that we don't even know will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and will be here with us and will be in other churches because of their testimony and will be singing and praising God all over the place because of this weekend, because of their testimony, because of the word that was sown in their heart. Lord, I just pray that the circle is completed. The seed sown and somebody comes and waters and somebody prays and somebody tells again, and then boom, a Christian is born.
Amen.
Lord, thank you that we can be a part of the process as this church. Thank you for the faithful members here that have sown into the youth ministry, that love the youth ministry, that pray for Brother Marco and Miss Jay and all of the workers, Lord. Thank you for them, Lord. We love our youth. We love this process. Thank you, Lord, that somebody told us, and Lord, we seek to tell them. And Lord, we pray that they tell others.
Amen.
We love you today, Lord. Give them rest today. I pray for each of these sponsors that they have a great nap. And Lord, their nap doesn't ruin their sleep tonight, that they're able to nap today and sleep hard tonight and hit the week running. And Lord, I pray for these kids. Many of them have homework and many of them have practices to think about this coming week and games and extracurricular activities and all those things. And I pray that the time that they gave, Lord, you would just multiply that time and effort and that they're able to catch up on all their stuff and just get back with it the beginning of this week. Lord, give us safety as we depart this place. May we each be able to say it was awesome It was incredible. It was blessed to be in the house of the Lord today. We love you, Lord. Give us safety as we leave. Thank you for loving us. Remember, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would be quickened in their heart and in their spirit to not leave this property until they speak with somebody. Myself, Brother Marco, one of our deacons, one of our retired pastors, they would speak to someone before they left this property about what it means to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, that we can tell, that we can lift you up, that we can lift these up. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said,
amen.
You are dismissed. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. All right.